I'm back with the Crack Man and some special guests in the studio today. Like this. Not just one. You went for a double whammy here today.
You know, Richard Lopresto and I have talked back and forth for years together. And he's also one of my good friends. It's amazing we've never crossed paths.
Wait. Like, this is the first time you've met in person?
Never met him.
Come on.
No. I don't think I even talked to him on the phone. And we text back and forth.
For how long have you been texting?
I don't know, 5-6 years.
That's crazy.
Sorry. So let's bring in Rich first and then Jimmy also. Let me ask you guys. Am I saying it right? We've never met. Of course, we never talked. Except for, we talk a little bit now that you were coming on the show.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we started maybe, about a month or so ago, maybe?
But I've known of you for years. And do you live in town?
I do.
That's embarrassing. I'm so sorry.
No.
Oh, you live here in Vegas?
How could we not have gotten together?
Oh. Oh, my God. Wait.
We all go to the same restaurants, too.
And we go to the same restaurants.
Same restaurants.
What the hell's going on? Yeah. Wait a minute.
Oh, God.
5 or 6 years, and he lives in town? Yeah. Not one meal?
No, it's amazing.
Only
Bill!
Years.
No, that's wrong.
Do you live here, too?
Do you live in town, 20 too?
Years. Yeah. 20
what?
Years.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Jesus. Sorry, guys. Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks,
and
pleasure.
The reason why I wanted to bring you on, because John and I both are giant baseball fans.
Yeah.
We love baseball compared to the other sports going and growing up. Baseball fans. John grew up a Dodgers fan. I grew up a fan. Yeah, probably the Mets. I guess the Mets more than the Yanks because, you know, being from where I'm from, everyone rooted for the Yanks. So I'm always an underdog guy, rooting for the underdog. And the Mets was hit. So it was nice to get the 86 Mets, at least we had in there. Some of the specials on the 86 Mets are unbelievable. That's out, too. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Those guys were partying and going crazy. We didn't know that being behind the scenes.
Right.
So anyway, what do you have there? Sin City. What is that? What shirt you have on?
Uniform. For God's team, the Sin City Angels.
Okay.
And
where's God located? I got to go talk to him.
He's everywhere.
Oh, okay.
He's located everywhere.
Nice.
And
we got to have conversations, though. What's going on in the country? I don't think he sees what's going on in New York and stuff.
Yeah. Me and Richard put them together. And there's also the Las Vegas
and what is that one?
Neon Kings.
Wow.
Which is the Devil's team.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Oh, you got both sides. You got John's team. That's good. John's on a little delay.
I just got that. Yeah, that was no good. Yeah.
What is the now? That's the book in the background.
Yes. Sir.
So that star Richard sent me that to my my studio about 5 years ago. Is that when the book was about 5 years?
Yeah, it was actually first publishing was 2017. That was the first edition. And
nice.
It's amazing how people try to take advantage of you in the publishing industry. I had never experienced that. I'm sports betting. I'm used to it.
Right.
But I'm not used to it from, like, civilians.
Like, in what way? The actual deal?
Well, let's say I had to threaten two publishers with lawsuits, my attorney, because they were trying to rob me, and we had to threaten them with a class action suit, and then they gave me back my money in, like, less than 5 days. I was really fortunate to have a fabulous attorney in Los Angeles that was friends with my mentor, Jerry Schaefer, who's since deceased.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Jerry's up in heaven watching
Sorry about
us.
That.
Yeah, it's okay. Thank you.
Tell everyone what's your book about, because this is going to be interesting to John, too. Tell them what your book's about.
I'll tell you. Listen to this. This is an amazing story. So I was born and raised Roman Catholic.
Yep.
And a lady friend of mine who was a great gal named Mary Frabile, she was a super beautiful woman and beautiful girl. She invites me to church. So I go to church the first time, and I'm like, maybe it's a scam, you know, it's all the music and all this stuff. And I felt, though, such a joy in my soul from going. And it sounds corny to say, but the whole thing I'm telling you is true. So I sit there, and I go back a second time, and I'm sitting next to Mary and her family. And I said, Mary, God just asked me he's telling me to write a story, and he's telling me what to say in it and stuff. So she looks at me and goes, I guess you better do it, right? So I said, yeah. So it took me 7 years to write it. I finished it in a wheelchair, and I showed it to my mentor at the time, and he goes, this is really good. He says, we got to make this into a movie. I said, that's what, you know, God and I were hoping. So that's the story of Old Timers Day, and I finished it in a wheelchair. I was hurt real bad.
What was wrong?
Car accident?
He says, no, I actually, I sprained my right leg really bad playing with the kids.
Wow.
And I was a lot skinnier back then. This is going back. And then while I was rehabbing my right leg, I blew out the patellar tendon on my left knee.
Oh, wow.
And now, thanks to Jesus Christ, I can walk and train. although I do limp a little bit, but I don't need a wheelchair, walker, or a cane.
And you look great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Can we announce your age?
Yes, sir. Of course.
I've known a Rich. I thought, I have to be honest, and don't take this as an insult.
No.
So I thought Rich was like 75. That's what I thought. When I seen you today, I didn't even know it was you. I said, this can't be the same Richard LaPresse.
Oh, because I was going to say, Bill, no, but he does not look 75. You know, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
But I he's younger than I thought, but yet he looks great for his age. You're 64?
Four, yes, sir.
64?
Yeah, no way.
Jesus, I offered him $10,000 for his hair already.
Yeah, I'm in on that deal.
I'm going to have an auction. We'll do a live auction.
Yeah.
No, you look great. So the book itself, though, what's it actually about?
Okay, here's
the
what
book
it
itself.
Is.
This is what I want the people to know.
So there's a very famous baseball player. The younger people may not remember him. His name is Roberto Clemente.
Yeah, of course.
And he
Pirates.
And he was one of my favorite players growing up. Even though we had season tickets for the Mets, the Pirates always came in and decimated the Mets until 69 when I was 9 years old. I got to see the Mets win the World Series.
Wow.
Shocked
Miracle
the world.
Mets. Yeah.
But so he was my favorite player. So God gives me the opening to the story. And it's God talking to Roberto Clemente as his airplane crashes December 31st, 1972. It was a big deal in New York and the Eastern
it's
Seaboard.
It's a big deal everywhere
yeah,
in the world.
And Hispanic.
Wasn't he going to help his people?
Yes, he was.
That's just a terrible story. I know. Yeah. So
he was bringing an earthquake aid to Nicaragua because the bandidos were stealing everything he sent down. They stole.
Oh.
So he says to his friend Tom Walker, his best friend, who's Neil Walker's father. Tom Walker was a teammate,
okay.
And he says, Tom, I have to go, but you can't go. He doesn't let him go. And he gets on the plane.
Wow.
The plane crashes. And in fact, we're going to shoot the movie in Puerto Rico.
Wow.
Jimmy came up with a great idea because we get 40% back on the budget.
Okay.
So anyway, so that's the opening. God talking to Clemente, he says, I have to take your life today because I'm going to have to need you to do a favor for me many years from now. Plane goes into the ocean and fast forwards to Central Church. Two little boys on the pitching mound speaking to each other. God says, it's been a long time since we've been face to face. Satan says, it's been about 2,000 years since I took my sword and stabbed your son in the side and killed him. And of course, Satan goes, you're still holding grudges, stuff like that, because Satan's a bad guy. We know
that.
So that's how the opening is. And then they pick 50 of the greatest players of all time, living and deceased, to play at Ebbets Field for the future of mankind. One game.
This is a great premise.
I knew you'd like this.
Like
Field of Dreams-ish.
Yeah.
I actually can't claim credit for it. I give it all to God because that's what people call me and text me and email me and Jimmy too. And they say, Richard, we're not even baseball fans, but the ending of your book makes me feel so good. They like to read the end.
Wow.
So that's a good sign for the movie. You know
what I mean?
So that's a good. And Jimmy wrote a brilliant screenplay, just a brilliant screenplay to go along with the book.
Is that your role, Jim?
You screenwriter. Yeah, Jimmy's a screenwriter.
I played baseball since I was 4 years
old.
Us too. Up until I trusted a doctor who told me I can get my knee replaced and still play when I was 47. That was 13 years ago, and that's when I stopped playing.
I got you.
I would still be playing now, and I just love the game. And this is the greatest All-Star game ever.
Wow.
Could ever be played.
Old Timers Day, you can still get it on Amazon and stuff, right?
It's on Amazon. And also, I just got a new publisher.
Oh,
it's
good.
It's called TPC Publishing. Okay. I can get you guys all these balls and books because we're actually going to sell these guys. I had them made especially for the movie and the book.
Whoop. Look how cool.
Is there already a movie deal?
We have had a lot of offers for the screen rights.
I have a guy.
Do you really?
Wow.
Yep.
I'd love to meet him.
100%.
Wow.
I have the guy for you.
If you say it, I believe you because I know
I have the
you
guy.
Guys are honest.
Really? How cool. Well, thank you very much. We'll have these on
eBay.
These
are ours?
We'll have these on eBay.
This
is great. Yeah, what do you think that we get for this, Bill?
No.
We get?
How cool is that?
will he know that we... All right. No. This is great. Thank you.
Cool.
You're welcome.
Very
and
cool.
Also, that's unlimited. You guys can have as much stuff as you want because you gave us a shot to tell the story.
Oh, of course.
What a great premise. Man.
Thank you. And I heard something else we're going to do that you're going to like, you guys. We decided to, the Lord laid on our heart to do the USA Baseball Storm the Barn Prayer Tour. And the purpose of it is to help unify the country, okay, and help kids that are faced with overwhelming stuff on a daily basis that's overwhelming. So we're going to tour and we're going to cast 100 lookalikes for the movies. for players, coaches, managers that are in the game, because I can't pay 100 guys.
Sure.
So I'm going to get people to appear like when they line up for the Star Spangled Banner, and the players, because they don't have any speaking roles, they'll just be in the movie like in center field or right field. Now, hopefully, I get enough money. If I can get to Wahlberg, I can get A-list actors, maybe one or two.
Right.
That'll make the movie catapult it, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're going to do a look-alike tour. We go to 10 cities or more. And stop at the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. My book is there.
Wow.
And so is the baseball.
Wait, hold it. Your book is in?
Yes, sir. It is.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they asked for it.
That's a giant thing.
Yeah, they asked for it. And I'm a donor there, as well as to the Negro Leagues Museum as well. I do. So I'm just grateful that I have the resources to do what I do. You know?
I'll tell you what. Listen. I was going to say my friend Jerry Eisenberg. Do you know Jerry is the name?
I know the name. Yeah. He's a writer. He's not just a writer. He's
going to be 94. I just talked to him the other day. I talked to him once a week, every week. He gave the, literally, he was at Muhammad Ali's funeral, gave the eulogy. Mm-hmm. I mean, but he's written for the New York Star Ledger for 50 years. And he wrote two books that are incredible on baseball and the Negro League. One is on unbelievable how a lot of those guys early didn't get a chance to break the color barrier and how good these players were, you know, back in the early 30s, 40s. There was teams all around Newark, New Jersey, and all around they traveled also. But going back to what I said, isn't it unbelievable to know that even when you're gone, that book will be in the Hall of Fame? I would love something like that. In other words, that's a lasting something that'll be there forever. And I'm not looking for you. I'm not trying to say you're going to go anytime soon. But
hey, listen.
Why are you writing this guy off already?
Yeah,
what are
you doing? Billy, you're going to live to Eisenberg.
The way the world is now, who knows what's going to happen? But it's interesting that you brought up the Negro Leagues, because when I would go home every day after church every week, and I'd write down notes every week. And then God started giving me messages every day. So I'd go home and start writing every day. And the notes were like all over my desk. It was insane. And, Mary would tell me, what are you doing over here? I said, this is the stuff I'm writing down, the players and the innings. Because it's a 10-inning game in the book. And it's arguably, in my opinion, but I'm biased, I think it's one of the greatest baseball games ever played that we're going to depict on this motion picture. And there's a scene in the movie and the book where just before Satan and God, as the two little boys pick the players, Amazing Grace starts to play and the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Oh, wow.
And all the Negro Leaguers come up to the pitcher's mound with Satchel Paige. There are seven players that lead them to the mound. And Satchel Paige says to God, we heard there was a game here. We didn't want you to forget about us. And God says, all of you can watch the game, but I can't use all of you in the game. So everybody who's not playing is going to sit behind God's dugout. So all the Negro League players that never got to play in the major leagues are going to be sitting behind God's dugout for the whole game. Wow. So that's going to be a great scene in the movie, I believe.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it could be iconic.
I'm going to just show you, turn my screen to you guys. These are some. Jerry wrote 14 books, by the way. So Jerry wrote on Larry Doby, who he was very close to. Larry Doby wrote, his last book is on Larry Doby. But he also wrote two other books. The Greatest Game Ever Played, which is a great baseball book that Jerry wrote. I mean, imagine this guy wrote 14 books. Like I said. And he wrote one called Baseball, Nazis, and Nedick's Hot Dogs, which is an old place growing up.
Nedick's Hot Dogs.
I'm saying it wrong.
Yeah, Nedick's.
Growing up Jewish in Newark. So, yeah, Jerry's great, and I'm so close to him. We talk every single week. And this is a really interesting thing that you brought up, these other subjects of your book, because I'm going to now mention it to Jerry. But So that's great, guys. You know, you guys can get that on Amazon, and you have a new publisher, you said? Or no publisher?
Yeah, yes, a new publisher called TPZ Publishing.
Why would you want a new publisher? What do they do?
Here's why, because even the publishers that I had to self-publish because of all the pitfalls and swindles there are for publishing for a first-time author.
Wow.
So now a friend of mine who's my executive producer, he's a friend of Jimmy's as well, named David White. He couldn't be here today. But he says, Richard, there's a publisher back in Michigan that I think you should talk to named Terry Ziemba. And Terry just loved it. He goes, hey, let's do it. So he's put out a new edition that's going to be ready almost any day now, and he can start shipping them.
Nice.
And they're a nice soft cover book.
All right, the more important thing, when are we all going to dinner?
Oh, right? We got a mangiare. We got a
menage. I go out to dinner four or five, six times a week, obviously. I go to breakfast, too, by the way. I go out to breakfast. So you're welcome to go. I mean, we all go to the same places, too.
I'm going to tell you what has to happen.
Yeah. There. Go ahead. What do you got?
We
got
to pull Tony O into this.
Okay. So
because the guy that I said I have the guy to do the, it's his guy.
Oh, okay.
My dad's money guy.
Okay.
I think will love this movie.
Oh, wow. Wouldn't that be a blessing?
And
something?
His dad is a big baseball fan, too. We're
really?
Real close to Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah.
You know, I'm real close to Tony Orlando, too. I mean, you obviously know who he is, right?
Oh, sure.
Of course, he had his own show for years.
Oh, he had his TV show.
That's right.
And he just did his last show here in Nevada at South Point.
South Point, we were there, of course. I flew to Resorts in Atlantic City, and the last show was in Uncasville. You're right. It was in the Mohegan Sun, we had Tony on last week talking about it. It was unbelievable. The girls came on for his last show.
Yeah.
And the guy that introduced him to his first show, Cousin Bruce, he was there to introduce him to his last show. 60 years later.
60.
I think it was 64. 64 years later.
Yeah.
So I'm big, big, big. And you know what's funny? I met Tony O 20 years before I met John.
Really?
At the airport. At the airport.
That's wild.
He was so nice.
We're at Newark?
No.
Newark Airport?
Right here.
Right here in Vegas?
Right here. It was the old McCarran Airport. Before they renamed it after
Mr. Reed.
Yeah, Mr. Reed. Mr. Reed, who by the way, you know what? I won't get into it. I won't get into the money that a friend of mine had to give him every week back in the 70s for years. But anyway, so yeah, I met him at that airport, and he was checking in, going through. You know, people don't do this anymore. You know, the guy that outside, what are
Sky
they
cab.
Called? Sky cabs.
Yeah,
get
they're
the cab,
gone
Sky
now.
Cab. They're,
pretty
they're gone?
Much. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know. That's where I met him. I met
really?
A Sky Captain, and,
wow.
And he would treat me like family then. So it was really cool. I remember I called my mom and told him, I told my mom and dad, both of them, I said, listen, I just ran into Tony Orlando. It was unbelievable. So really cool. So anyway, let me tell you guys something. I have a neighbor. You guys are going to be here for the whole show. So this is just a food thing. So my neighbor, I take him out to Peter Luger's Steakhouse. I've been there five, six times already at Caesars. Joe's Stone Crab, which is like one of my favorite places. Also at the Forum. That's at the Forum Shop. The other one's at Caesars, real close by. I took him to Carmine's one night.
Carmine's Forum Shop?
Which, by the way, I love Carmine's at the Forum Shops here.
It's so good.
The one in Atlantic City is terrible, but I've been there twice.
Here it's
two.
Amazing.
Here is amazing, it's I thought. Really great.
Family style,
the pictures.
I love it there.
They had the Christmas lights up year-round. Michael's was the ultimate, though. I took him to Michael's twice. Got comps twice for Michael's. Took him to Michael's. The other night, he says to me, and I like the guy because he's actually a good guy.
Yeah.
And I could say this about him, and you know he's not going to get too sore. Might get a little sore. So he says to me, hey, why don't you come over to the house one night? Come over to eat. And I said, yeah, sure. He goes, listen, I do breakfast once in a while at dinner. I said, okay. He goes, you want to come over and get cream of wheat with me? Want to come over for cream of wheat? I said, cream of wheat? Michael's? Stone Crab's? Peter Luger? Cream of fucking wheat? That's what... He goes, no, I'm just telling you. We do that once. I said, listen, you can invite me over when you're having a barbecue or something. I'm not doing cream
right,
of wheat.
I want real food.
No, I just like these...
Yeah. Come get some oatmeal.
I'm just saying, like this just happened. So I was like, I got to mention this on air. But anyway, we'll go to one of those great places for dinner.
That'd be fabulous, Bill.
Do you guys like Italian American Club, too? You've been there a million times?
I'm a lifetime member since 1981 there.
Are you really?
As soon as I came to town, my mom was back in New York.
Right.
And she says, you got to go right down there and sign up.
Let me tell you. I love the whole atmosphere there. You know, I didn't go there, though, till I did the show Action on Showtime. And I was filming this show over at Paris, at a lounge at Paris, where my buddy Cookie Jar was the entertainer.
And the crumbs. Were
the crumbs
there?
No crumbs. You know Cookie Jar and the crumbs. This guy's been around.
40 years.
So Cookie Jar was I pulled him on the show with me. He's on Action with me. And this guy, Jimmy, comes up to me. Jimmy and Lou come up to me and say, hey, Bill, how you doing? Nice to see you. You know, we follow some things you're doing. You're a pretty sharp guy. These guys owns Italian American, Jimmy Girard.
He owns
Italian American. And Lou, with his partner Mike, owned Tuscany on the Eastern. Which I love.
Yeah.
I love that. We've been there.
We've been the appetizer.
I'll tell you what. I'll put the scampi appetizer up against anyone's scampi. And he always sends it over, too.
Does he really?
And I'll just say, listen, I'm sorry to do this. I know you're going to send one of the practice ones over. I need a whole meal of these. You know? Yeah. No.
One of the practice ones.
The practice plate. You get that at Michael's, too. You get the relish tray.
Yeah.
It's like a practice
plate.
Yeah.
I like that.
But, so we'll
I'm going to give you an advanced move for the scampi. You ready?
Okay, good.
He has the scampi and the heavy cream. And he's got the scampi and the olive oil and garlic.
That's the one I like. I like both of them, but the olive oil and garlic I like.
You mix it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
and then with the bread?
And then the garlic bread. You dip it in there.
Sure.
Oh,
go right to the,
forget
right
about
right
it.
Molto bene, molto bene.
Right to the nursing home from there. Yeah. That's good stuff. All right. So you guys know, I want you guys to stick around. I've got a couple subjects to go over.
Bread and butter also.
Absolutely it is.
I'm so glad that you were with me for Otani. The Otani 30-1.
What's the deal on that?
You remember a couple of years ago
I gave out Otani. Yeah.
For MVP.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago and I gave it
a
out.
A year ahead of time.
I bet it at 33-1 and they took $30 where I bet it. That was the max to win $1,000.
Who do you have this year?
They let me do it 30 times though. Before they moved it down to 30-1. So I actually won a lot of money on it. Yeah, I won a lot of money.
The line on Mookie is probably ridiculous, right? Mookie Betts is probably the favorite this
year,
right?
We could look like? I could check out some odds here when we're online.
Yeah.
What do both of you guys think about the Oakland A's coming to town? Or eventually? I'm a baseball fan,
so I'm
looking
forward to... They may want to use that jersey.
Oh, wow. Okay. What do you guys think? You guys are happy or sad?
I'm very happy because...
I'm happy, too. You know, I think me and you are the only ones. Maybe John.
I'm happy.
Are you?
I don't know.
A lot of negative feedback on other things. Like, people don't want the A's.
I don't know why people can't do
the
math.
Bad. I know
and realize, like, people keep saying, we don't want the shitty A's. They're not going to be shitty when they're here. How does everyone not figure this out? They're going to sell out every game. Promise.
I said that on a show.
They'll sell out every game.
And people said to me, are you crazy? They're not selling out.
Of course they will.
People plan their vacations around coming here for Raiders games.
They won't sell it out. The Cubs will.
The Golden Knights game.
The Phillies, the Rangers, the Yankees.
People plan their vacations around that. You get to come from I almost said Shea Stadium. You almost come from Citi Field. Come over here and you can watch the Yankees or Mets play in Vegas three games.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
So they may feel
in the air conditioning.
So they may feel like the visiting team a lot, just like the Raiders do sometimes when the Chiefs come here. Forget it. It's a cheat. You're at a Chiefs game when the Raiders come here.
Yeah.
You know.
I knew that.
Eagles too.
Eagles, but Steelers. But I also think
60% Steelers fans.
Ownership. They keep shitting on the owner. He'll spend the money now. He can't spend the money in Oakland. You're never going to make it back. They get. Our minor league team here, the A's AAA team, right, the Aviators, they do 10,000, 11,000 people a game. Oakland gets 3,000, 4,000, 5,000.
Yeah. If they're lucky.
There was like plus, it's a bad area, too, to go
minor
into.
League teams.
It's a downgrade when you get called up from here.
Yeah.
Stadium-wise.
So I hope they get – I don't want an NBA team. I don't want an NBA team.
Well, that's coming
too,
though.
I know it's probably going to come, but I've seen some things that happened here in the past during the All-Star game and stuff. Everyone walking out of restaurants and flipping tables. Yeah. But the baseball crowd's a cool crowd. You know,
the basketball crowd will be fine. It's All-Star crowd that's no good.
The All-Star crowd.
All-Star is always crazy.
You have a point.
All-Star week is always crazy. Let me ask you.
So you're with me on Otani. That's great to know. Do you bet sports?
No.
You could be my next beard.
Okay.
You could beard him. Yeah, I just got thrown out of Caesars.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm trying
William
to figure
Hill?
Out.
My wife works.
William Hill. They threw me out. Yeah.
William Hill?
Yeah.
William Hill.
Yeah. For using my brain. You can't use your brain. You got to be Joe Paul.
Well, you are as long as you lose.
Yeah, you're fine as long as you lose.
Yeah.
And you know what? They were pretty good to me for a long, long time. But, you know.
You're allowed on the property, just not in the
sports. Of course. I'm a seven-star card.
Bet.
Doesn't even matter. Seven-star card, big credit lines at properties. You can't talk. No one wants to make a decision. No one wants to talk. That's every level of casino business, all sorts of forms, not just the sports book. You ask someone that's a casino host or someone that's in marketing or someone, everyone's scared to death. They don't want to be quoted. They want nothing to ruin their paycheck that they're stealing.
How did they tell you, Bill? Like, did they tell you in person or a letter or how did they tell you?
I made a bet that was a public bet that was on Twitter that someone sent me and. I made it for $1,000 a bet, and it won. and they said that that was all over, and I was taking advantage of a situation that they didn't know about. And but isn't that the purpose? Isn't the purpose of betting? Like if you quarter, like stations drew me out because I bet a quarterback that was out.
Right.
I bet the other team, and I got it 5 minutes before the team. They got it, so I bet my average bet on. I didn't take advantage and bet a triple bet or five times bet. And they said, "Hey, we want that ticket back. Arrest you thrown out of all our properties."
Wow.
You're not allowed to play the ticket. Wow. The game moved 2.5 points, by the way. I got the better news. Game lost. Oh. I lost anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, I lost. But win or lose didn't matter. They just wanted the ticket back or else I wasn't allowed to play. Wow. And that happened to Alan Boston, too, over at Red Rock. He bet something at like 90-1 that should have been 35-1. And they came running out in the parking lot and said, "We need your ticket back or else you're not allowed to bet with us no more."
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Super sharp. Yeah. He's another super sharp guy, Boston.
He had a great basketball season. Oh, he's been on our show multiple times.
You bet on all sports?
Pretty much. Sometimes I'll take a break off for travel because I like to travel and go to Europe and stuff. So sometimes I haven't gone since the pandemic because the world's a little bit crazy now. I wanted to let it
absolutely.
Calm
I think
down.
You're correct for doing that.
Yeah. So, things but so when I travel, I don't really bet. If I go overseas, I won't just. I mean, like unless a friend Rick calls me or something, or now Billy calls me and says, "Hey, put this in." You know what I mean? Something like that. Then I'll do it. But if I'm away on vacation, I kind of take a break for 3-4 weeks.
Your bread and butter, though, is baseball betting or
baseball? Yeah, and also I do well on college hoops too. But I don't produce as many plays as Billy or like Boston or some of these guys or Rick. They've got a lot more plays.
10-20 plays a day.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
During the heart of the season.
And RAS Sports, who had a really bad year this year.
Had a bad year,
RAS. Yep. And I
by
know
the way,
some guys there.
We didn't lose, but we struggled too this year.
It was hard
I'm
in
used to winning 50, 60, 70 units in college basketball. Meanwhile, college football was unbelievable. Preseason football, NFL, unbelievable. And the NFL season was great. I have no complaints.
Yeah.
I got a
how can
tournament.
I complain? Yeah. I'm just so grateful to the Lord. Something else I wanted to tell you guys that I thought of after the fact. For the movie, we came up with the idea to shoot two alternate endings. So no one really knows. Everyone's going to know how the book ends, but no one's going to know how the movie ends until we put it in post-production.
Okay.
So what I want the sports books here to do is for informational purposes only, if I can get Mike Gaughan or some of these guys to put up a betting line on the board, God versus Satan.
Wow.
And God is $1.40.
Right.
And it's $9 is the total.
Oh, wow.
And it's $1.40, Nolan Ryan against Walter Johnson. So hopefully as we gear up for the movie, if we could get some betting talk about it or see guys like Vaccaro.
Right.
I've known that guy forever.
Yep.
I'm going to say, Jimmy, put up, just for informational, put up a line to kind of, because that'll be picked up by the press, you know?
Like The Wynn used to do that.
Yeah, that's right. For the Oscars. Remember the Oscars?
Yeah.
Johnny Avello. Avello used to do it.
They still do, don't they? Or no?
No, he's at DraftKings now, so no.
Oh.
But they don't. But I love the Wynn though. I love the guy that runs the Wynn sports book there, Doug. They're very good to me. Excellent sports book. They agreed to take a certain amount for me, and that's it. And he goes, "I want to take it. And I want to overmove your stuff when you bet." So they know how to book. You know, it's funny you said Walter Johnson. Why is he on the devil team?
He's a starter for Satan. Nolan Ryan starts for God's team.
Yeah. Why'd you figure that?
No, I just had a feeling that there's a couple. Who was the guy that used to go head? Oh my God! How can I not notice being a big baseball fan? He used to go feet first into your head with the spikes.
Ty Cobb.
How can I not know? How can I forget Ty Cobb?
He's the leadoff hitter.
Yeah. Batting leadoff on the Satan team.
Now it's very important that we tell Pete Rose.
Yeah.
That he's on God's team, and so is Joe Jackson.
Oh okay. Wow!
Both guys got picked by God, which people say, "Why is that?"
Pete got picked by God, and Joe Jackson should get picked by God.
He should get picked by God.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Look what he batted in that World Series and stuff, and they said he was, you know, taking the payoffs.
Right. He didn't make an error either.
Right. Yeah. Didn't make an error.
Right.
There you go. And it was an 8 Men Out. Is that the movie?
Eight Men Out.
Great movie.
Arnold Rusty. He's in the crowd during the game. We're gonna have John Dillinger, Al Capone. So we're gonna have like celebrities identified.
Oh wow!
But this here's is what such a good premise.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How about the people in the audience here?
Yeah.
And Dillinger, why are you robbing banks? Where the money is. That's what he said. Yeah. I said, why would you want to rob a bank? Because that's where the money is. And let me ask you: if I lose like 5-10 pounds, I could play Babe Ruth.
Well, sure. But
okay, good.
But I mean, watch this. That's if we don't use Vogelbach, but I got something better for you. Sure. All my family and friends are going to be behind God's dugout. So anybody,
I'm in
because it's so wonderful that you know, I'm able to do this. So we can put people, and Jimmy came up with the great idea. We're going to have Clayton Kershaw do stuff for the handicapped kids behind home plate.
Nice.
So we're going to do a lot of stuff because that's what I like to do.
Look at these ideas you guys come up with.
Oh, it's all God, man. Without God, I can't do it.
That's
with
great.
God, I can do anything.
Does God tell you anything about what's going on in baseball today or
tomorrow? Yeah, you got any winners?
I'm just saying.
Let's get some winners.
But now, watch this.
He doesn't gamble, Bill.
I used to have a friend of mine. He's departed. His name is Mike Addy, Mike Adio. He picks horses. He used to say, Rich, sometimes it's a favorite. Sometimes it's a price. He goes, but he goes, I don't make the prices. He says, I pick the winners, and God makes the price.
Wow. My dad used to tell me that what John just said. It's funny you said that.
God doesn't gamble.
God doesn't gamble. My dad used to
say,
Bill,
out of it.
You don't pray to God to win money or anything like that. That's pretty funny you said that. I just brought back that. All right, guys, let me get my next subject.
Okay, go ahead.
So a buddy of mine sends me this text. Bill, I want to let you know the story of what happened to me a few days ago. You know when I love a game and fire away a game, win or lose, it was my game to play. Yes, this guy, by the way, stone cold sucker, was lost. Loses about $100,000 a year. He's luckily enough, his family owns apartment buildings in the city. He's very wealthy, but he'll lose $100,000 a year betting sports. Won't listen to me. Nothing to do with that. He wants his own opinion, and he can afford to do it. So he said, remember when I'm not going to mention the game, but he said, I loved 8 games this week so much that I wanted to bet a 6-point teaser for $200, 15-1. I went to the window and the ticket didn't print out. The manager or shift supervisor came over, looked at the ticket and said, you have a player's card? I kindly gave it to the supervisor. The person looked at a computer at a desk for a minute, walked back over to me and said, you play horses, now you're betting sports? I said, yeah, I play both, though. I bet sports, too. He goes, no, you can't have a $200 teaser. I can give you a $50 teaser. They gave him a $50 teaser. He said no and walked away. Of course, the very first game on the ticket lost, he said. I just cannot understand why they wouldn't take it. And he goes, I go to Westgate and make bets like this. They never refuse me. So I'd like to throw them under the bus. they're Coast Casinos, which are Boyd Coast. They sweat the money so bad.
It's crazy.
They sweat the money so bad. Of course, they threw me off their app right away. When I hit something like 8-1, they threw me off. They should have a sign outside losersonly.com and just rename the whole casino. Now, it's a gambling joint, though. I'll just tell you. I'm talking about the sportsbook sweats. It's a gambling joint. I say good and bad about everything. I look right at the camera and say this because I actually like the Gold Coast. I mean, except for the smoke. Smoke's bad.
Local casinos are bad. Yeah.
Ping pong is where I'm going. See, this guy.
Hey, what's that?
How can we not have been together? I love Ping Pong Pong.
What
I think
is
it's
that?
It's the best orange chicken in town.
It's the best Chinese restaurant in town.
Really?
Yeah.
It's at the Gold Coast.
Phenomenal.
At the Gold Coast.
Yeah, it's at the Gold Coast. Great Chinese place. The owner of that one also owns the one at the Venetian, too, next to the sports book at the Venetian. But the Gold Coast is a gambling joint. You go in, all the tables are packed. People are gambling. They'll take some bets. It's a gambling joint is what I'm trying to say. Like Michael's place.
South Point.
Yeah. That's a gambling joint. You go there on a Tuesday. Come on a Wednesday. Tonight's the slowest night of the week historically in gaming. Tuesday, Wednesday night.
It'll be packed.
Packed.
The
every
buffet
night.
Out of control.
Unbelievable. Yeah. The place is just always, they're gambling joints. But
yeah.
As far as these guys that are stealing money in the sports book by getting paychecks, I wish like Bill Boyd and the chairman and the guys that know how much money they're costing them. They're being costed by upper management and management in general, because what happens is they just throw squares out. This guy's a regular guy, loses 100+ a year betting sports. He'll never come on your property again because you guys wouldn't take a $200 sucker bet teaser. Shame on you. Shame on you guys. Anyway, I know. I go off.
It's crazy, Bill.
You're right. You're 100% right.
$200 teaser.
Yeah. I mean, you're a casino or you're not. You're a sports book or you're not. You take action or you don't. I mean, it's binary.
They want people to come up and bet those type of bets normally. That's a sucker bet. Teasers and parlays.
If you're sweating teasers and parlays, what are we doing? Like, if you're worried about those hitting, like, what are we doing?
They're,
that's the whole point.
It's a shame. And they're not alone. I don't mean to pick on them. There's other places in town.
Right.
There's the Treasure Islands. There's other places now. That sweat the money and you know there's even more than that. I mean, you go to around different properties. They act like it's coming out of their pocket, mm-hmm. and that bothers me. Bothers me because what these guys don't know, even like the heads of some of these bigger companies that are nationwide now, they don't realize the risk departments are costing them money. Not all risk departments, but the risk departments cost them money because on their shift, they don't want to have a guy win anything. Laying 11 to 10, the money's posted up. They're betting sucker bets. But a guy comes in and wants to bet $5,000 on a couple things, a $2,000 parlay, $3,000 parlay, and they lose $100,000 on their shift. Just so happens they lose on that shift.
Right, it's not a big deal.
It doesn't matter because they make $1 million on the next shift.
Right.
Especially these bigger companies I'm talking about that came to the country the last, you know, since PASPA was repealed. So what I'm saying is that they don't know. They're sitting up in their purchase. They don't even realize that this goes on in their risk departments, and they're throwing out squares. Listen, I'm not even saying me. This is not about me. I understand why you would reduce me. Not why you'd throw me out, by the way. Why you would reduce me? I lay three. A line's going to close five. I understand. But Joe Public, like my neighbor, that every year he's lost millions of dollars gambling. You're throwing, and now you have actually alienated him from your bottom line. But guess what? Because the supervisor didn't take the bet, the guy in risk didn't. The main guys probably don't even know about what happened here. Because if the main guy knew, they would be like, "What are we doing?" Let me tell you something too. I would never hire anyone in any facet of the gaming industry that didn't gamble. I want them to know what it is to lose a paycheck. I want them to know what it is to have the pressure of having money and going broke and stuff. Because let me tell you something else. That's something that my old knock-around friends back east, I have a wacko friend that's that, you know, in the city. He says, "I love when I go broke. The pressure's off. I don't know, I can go to sleep now."
Oh, my God.
I can go to sleep now. Every day I'm in action. When I have money, the pressure's off. Okay, well, I want these people to know. I want these people to know. And only guys were like maybe a valid thing on the game. You know what I mean. No. You guys know what I mean. No, when you gamble every day and it just it's something that's in our human makeup, the human makeup and stuff. We have that thing where we just chase, especially where we're from. Where are we originally from? What part of New York?
Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn, okay. So you got Bronx, Brooklyn. Where are you from?
Toms River.
I'll count that. That's a game. Let me tell you something. All those Jersey East Coast towns, they're all gambling. Oh, I grew up in a little boardwalk town there, Kingsburg.
I grew up in Seaside.
Yeah, we were all gamblers.
My dad had 60
wheels,
stands.
I worked in those stands when I was a kid. I worked at a basketball stand when I was a kid on the Kingsburg boardwalk.
The hoop was a little smaller.
It was. It wasn't regulation. But my bosses would get mad because I would give away. I got to tell you something. I come from two old-fashioned parents, though. And like my father was very giving, give the shirt off his back. And I would always feel bad. I would give so much merchandise away. The boss would say, like, what happened here? You know, I would give stuff away. Said, come on, your rims aren't even big enough. You know, the trick was throwing it backwards, spinning it. You know, spinning it in. But I worked at a dart stand. Yeah. You had to kill Gaddafi. Gaddafi was the center back then. He was the leader.
No way.
Yeah. Gaddafi was the leader of what country?
Libya.
Yeah, real nice guy. They paraded him through the streets in the end. They were his body.
Speaking about giving no prizes out. Do you remember Cover the Red Spot with the five plates?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My dad
the disc.
That to
with the
Seaside,
disc. Yeah. Wow. And wow, your dad was a real huckster.
Well, he brought the bongs there, too.
Yeah,
the
okay.
Bongs.
Wow. I worked at, you remember Kill the Cats?
Oh, yeah.
The cats that had the furry thing?
Hey, now.
So it looks like a nice, nice furry cat.
Meanwhile,
the middle of us, the center of the cat's this big, and the fur is this big. But you would get a good baseball pitcher, though. They'd knock the cats over every time. But I worked at all those stands, and that's how I learned my interaction with people. It first started at my aunt and uncle's pizza place on the boardwalk, and at 9 years old, cutting pizzas for 50 cents an hour. True story. Yeah. Villa Pizza. Still there. 55 years later. Wow. Pizza V still on Kingsburg Boardwalk.
I don't want to tell
cousin
you
Anthony.
What the cost of pizza, a slice of pizza is now.
Yeah, no.
$7 a slice.
No, I know it is. $7. I went to one of the food courts here just the other day. Okay, at the Venetian. At the Venetian. I can't believe what's going on. I wanted to take a video. I really didn't want to blast them because I don't know. There's a place called the Totono's out of New York, whatever it is. How much do you think a slice of pepperoni pizza was?
$20.
$13. $13 for a slice of pizza. I just can't believe that.
For bread and sauce?
Do you
sauce?
Know what it costs for a pie to be made? Even today. I don't know. $5?
Maybe less.
Maybe less.
Maybe less.
Because you're buying bulk. Pizza at Sam's Clubs. four toppings of meat for $8.95.
Wow. You must be friends with my neighbor. Okay, no. Sorry.
No, I'm joking.
On a serious note, though, does Sam's Club and Costco,
yeah,
they have some really good, unique finds. Uh-huh. I mean, my wife finds these things that like and are really decent, really good. Stuff that's made. They have their own bakeries. They're baking in-house, too. So they make their sandwiches in-house. They, you know what I can't find in this town? Maybe you guys can help me. This is always my life's so bad. Food all the time. Any good hot dogs in town?
They serve Michael at Sam's Club.
Oh, then you're right. That's what made me. That's what made me think about that. The soubrettes at Sam's Club. At Sam's Club.
And
I mean,
a soda $1.50.
No, you're right. That's what made me think of hot dogs, though.
South
like
Point.
A good. Oh, the hot
beer.
Dog cart at South Point.
It's okay, Bear. But I that's want good. It. I want it grilled.
Yeah, I like a grilled dog. Ooh, there's some like places back east. There's some places
seen.
Back east, like there's a place called Rutt's Hut up by the Meadowlands that makes a good. But I like a grilled dog.
Yeah.
I'll give you some. I'll give you the best grilled dog out there. You're going to know it. Come on. You don't know right away? Windmill. The windmill back east, back at the boardwalks. Windmill. Windmill hot dogs and Max's in Long Branch and up and down the east, up in that Seabright. Windmill hot dogs are grilled.
Have you had a Dodger dog?
Thick cased hot dog. I did.
The grilled Dodger dog.
Yeah,
beating that.
I actually have.
I'm
had
sorry.
Some, yeah. Everything's Dodgers.
It is. Let's talk about baseball
Dodger
real
dog.
Quick.
Dodger dogs.
You're a baseball guy.
Yes, sir. I try to be.
There's four teams I want you to watch for future bets. I don't know if you're a future bet World Series guy. I'm the guy
sometimes
had the Rangers last year, 60-1. I had.
He did have the Rangers.
I said it on the podcast.
No,
that's awesome,
times.
Man.
He did have the Rangers last year.
That's awesome, man.
Listen to me.
You play 33 teams. You should get
Listen to me.
All right, tell me.
If they don't get hurt, the Dodgers are going to run away with it. That's a fact.
Wow.
But you never know. Some injuries, whatever. Okay. Watch out for the Cincinnati Reds, either this year or next year. This is what I said about the Rangers for the last 2 years, and I was wrong the first year I said it, but I did say maybe next year. Watch out for the Reds. Watch out for the Kansas City Royals at 100-1 this year.
Wow.
Watch out, and remember I said it.
John's looking to bury it.
They also just beat the Astros last night.
Did they?
Hey, I'll put
street
some
cred.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, they did. They came back. They were down 3-0 in that game.
Yep, they won 5-4 in extra.
Billy,
10
we got lucky on the first five innings. Remember, we tied it up 3-3.
Yeah.
Five innings. We tied it down 3-0 in the bottom of the fifth.
And then I'm going to tell you.
Oh, my game. You
your
mean.
Game was
oh,
the
yeah,
Royals
yeah,
first
yeah.
five.
Yes.
And we pushed.
Yes.
We pushed.
So in the National League, you got Dodgers and Reds. American League, I just said Royals. And then. If you guys are not pounding the former champs, the defending champs, at 15-1, it is so disrespectful that the Rangers are 15-1.
They were more than
You've
that.
You've got
believe
to
it.
Be,
I
or it might be 18.
We might be able to get more. I was thinking.
You
got to
be kidding me.
I was thinking get more than that. Wow.
You got
not
to
giving
be
them any
kidding
credit
me.
At all. Maybe because of the change of managers. We were.
I don't know, but
about
I can.
The change.
I promise you, this will age well. It will not be the Yankees in the World Series.
Oh, there you go. I'm not a Yankee guy. I'm a Mets guy.
So
Billy knows that. We had season tickets.
The Mets on paper are scary every year, and I just don't understand what's going on that they just can't materialize. What is going on? Like, I want them to get there.
Probably make a decent size.
Maybe it's
now
a strawberry
the
curse.
They must have the worst pitching coaches.
Oh, yeah.
Bill says now he's going to make a decent size bet on the Yankees because I just counted them completely out.
11-1. Yankees are 11-1.
Not happening. Promise.
That's good odds, actually. 11-1.
They can't beat the Rangers. It's not
what's
happening.
Texas?
Rangers are 12-1. This is circa.
Oh, they came down a little.
Royals 120-1.
That's
whoa,
a winner.
I like that.
I'm telling you.
I'm going to ride
get
with
get on the Royals
next.
Train.
I'm going to get on that.
It's a good young
get
team.
On that horse,
Reds,
cowboy.
Reds are 50-1.
Reds this year and Royals this year and then next year too. Same thing.
Next year,
they
back
may need
to back.
Another year. But yeah, okay. I would. They're going to be there, man. They got a good team.
Boy. We have a center fielder that plays for USD named Dustin Allen.
Yeah.
Who's a guy that works with me and for me.
Really?
His son. And the Royals are looking at him. He's super fast. He's batting about 300 now, senior year
center
of college.
Fielder.
Dustin Allen, center fielder for the USD Toreros.
Home run power, too?
Home run power.
Wow. He's got
fast,
it all.
Bats second. Bats lefty.
Oh.
And he also can pitch, but he hasn't been pursuing the pitching. But he's a left-handed pitcher.
Really?
Really nice player. Dustin Allen for USD. Let's see if the Royals get him. We'll see, but he's.
Well, I may have tell. I'm friends with the owner of the Rangers. I may have to tell. I might have to sway that the other way.
Dustin
he's been
Allen
on top 10 highlights twice.
Really?
For ESPN, yeah, ESPN.
On ESPN, number one once.
Throws lefty also?
What's that?
He throws lefty.
Pitches lefty, lefty.
Wow, yeah. And lefty stick.
Yeah, nice, nice batter. Just a nice player.
Wow.
I mean, I can't say enough good about him. And he's a nice kid, too.
That's exciting.
I have to plug him.
Yeah,
he's a good kid.
Last subject for me, last rant. I don't mean to be so negative.
No, I like when you are.
No, really, that's you.
George back there loves when you're negative.
Here's the thing, you know.
The best line was you saying that you should play Babe Ruth. I think we got to make this happen.
Okay? I love it. By the way, I'm a giant historian of baseball. I love, I absolutely love specials on Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig. Oh, I went to their grave recently and sent pictures. Babe Ruth.
He loves going to cemeteries.
Right by Billy Martin, they're buried. And I went to Lou Gehrig's. And who else? There was one other person there. Oh, there was four of them that I really enjoyed. And I put them up there. I like going to cemeteries. I think it's cool going to see famous graves. And I talked about Westwood Cemetery a couple times in L.A., and Pierce Brothers, there's so many. I mean, Dean Martin, Marilyn Monroe. I mean, you go on and
they're
on.
They're at Westwood, right?
They're at Westwood.
Yeah.
Rodney Dangerfield, on his stone, it says, "There goes the neighborhood." That's it. Rodney Dangerfield,
<That's hilarious. laughs>
"There goes the neighborhood." And, Kirk Douglas was buried there just recently. And
wow.
And
Where is it?
It's right in the middle of, like the city. You can't even catch it. It's 10 minutes from
it's
Santa
in
Monica.
Westwood.
Yeah,
off Wilshire.
It's
on, or something?
I think it's on Wilshire. The main, there's big tall buildings is right behind it.
Okay,
it's like still there. It's obviously still there.
Yeah,
they took everyone out.
Right.
But there's some great videos I've seen of Joe DiMaggio there, many times visiting Marilyn. He sent roses every single week to her stone. You know, people don't notice, they were getting remarried. They were actually getting remarried a couple weeks before she died.
Wow.
So, I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Yeah, right before the Kennedys killed her. Sorry.
All right, what was your last rant?
I just feel bad, but I'm
no,
gonna
go
have
ahead.
To,
okay. Let's.
And you know why I do this? I do this so Joe Public knows what's going on.
Yeah. I want to wrap this up with you angry.
I am Joe Public. I'm stick up for. I stick up because I am that regular guy. Like,
right.
You're
the man of the people. Well, you're the people's spokesperson.
I try to help them, even if they DM me or something or text me on Twitter. Hey, can you follow me? I have some. I'll help them go after the sports book.
You're the blue collar ambassador.
No, trust me, I'm not saying I'm a bargain all around. But,
all right,
a gentleman, Bill. You're a gentleman.
How much money does a sports book teller cost a company sometimes? So in other words, in Atlantic City, actually, you go to like the Tropicana, they must be pulling them out of underneath the boardwalk. They're so bad. No, they're some of the, like I'll go up and ask for a bet, and it's like, yeah, man, what do you want? Like, they're so bad. I have photos of these guys I took. They're so bad, so I'm ready to blast them.
Really?
But it happened yesterday here in town.
Okay, you gonna say the place or no?
It happened. You know what? This happens, I'm sure, at many sports
Say
books.
The place. Say the place.
I was really at a bucket of blood, and I was at a place like one of these places
on the strip,
Boulder Highway.
Okay, Boulder.
Don't
Highway.
Ask me what I'm doing over there.
Yeah, as you say, you get what you pay for, Bill. Yeah, what are you doing?
No.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah, I was on Boulder Highway, and there's one of the companies there, and a buddy of mine came with me. The cream of wheat guy. He came with me, and I wanted him to I go put a bet in. And he went up there, and I said, "Here, this is what you want to put in. This is really a good bet to make." And I showed him. I wrote down on a piece of paper exactly what he should make because he's not familiar with too many sports betting terms.
Yeah.
So this is a really good bet. I said, "You always want to gamble with me." I said, "Here, you know, bet what you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bet what you want on this." He goes up to the counter, and the guy takes the thing. He's like, "Yeah, we don't have this, man." And throws it back to him. And I'm like, "What do you mean they don't have it?" So now I actually get the bet number and show them that they have it. And the guy gets pissed off at the counter. I'm watching him, too. And I'm you know, like my old mother's. I'm watching him, what he's doing. And the guy is just a miserable person. Literally misplaced rage, mad at his own life, jealous of anyone else that bets. And, like, he was mad to find. And, of course, they had it, and we bet it. But I just thought about it, though. How much money does your front end people that have interaction with the public can cost your company.
Yeah.
If that's a newbie and listen, I understand you're working on Boulder Highway, but at least you have a job. know, the world needs ditch diggers also. So
yeah,
these companies are paying good money to people, good benefits. You know, I have to pay for my benefits. I pay over $1,000 a month for health benefits. I mean, these guys are getting benefits. They're getting things. You know,
well, customer service as a whole is
terrible.
Out the window.
It's terrible.
Point.
The workforce
it's crazy.
Is just, you know, it's terrible. But these casinos have to realize that. You know, and I say that, but yet there are some really good tellers in town too.
Yeah.
You know, I know I go to the South Point and some great tellers.
Yep.
Wynn. I take care of them. Wynn.
They're great.
I want to tell you something.
Everything
else.
At Wynn is great.
Even though, yeah. even though, William Hill Caesars threw me out. Caesars Palace has great tellers.
Yeah.
Their tellers are so schooled; they know exactly what they're doing. Yet yeah. you walk across the street from Planet Hollywood. And which is also the same company.
Right.
They're lost. Tellers are horrible.
Yeah.
They should use a model, should be, in my opinion, the model tellers should be at Wynn or Caesars Palace.
Well, it's the top, right? It trickles down from the top, right?
Yes.
It's whoever the manager is, or the director, right?
Yes.
And if they're solid, the team is solid.
And you understand, these managers now, they don't, it's not like it was 5 years ago before these companies took over and started booking in-house for them, and they literally lease out their space to another third-party company. So you understand, these managers were in charge of approving bets, approving things, doing. Now they don't need them anymore.
Right.
They're basically glorified secretaries, the managers.
Right.
So they don't teach no one nothing. They're mad. They're upset about their own lives, upset about things. I just told you the good and bad. There's good and bad things. But, guys, we really appreciate you guys coming in.
Thank you.
I'm glad you stayed for the whole show.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Billy. And I have to sign you a book. I got to get you a book.
Please.
So you have a book. I got someone to want to
I really love this book idea. I'm not just saying that because we're on the show.
Thank you so much,
Old Timers Day.
Thank you so much, both of you. It's been an honor and a pleasure to meet you, Billy.
Yes.
And you're such a good guy, man. God bless you both.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.